You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Survives. At least one team in L.A. survives. So we still have the big markets involved in the NBA playoffs. But did we lose one of the biggest stars in the NBA playoffs as a result of that? Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. How we doing, guys? Good weekend. It's going to be a hot day today in New York City.
It was hot yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
It's not comfortable.
Just skip right over spring.
It's always
that's what happens. Right over spring.
That's the Northeast.
Right into summer.
That's the Northeast.
It's cold. Then there's no spring. Then it's too hot to do anything. It's like
or it rains. It's cold and then it rains and
lot.
You think it's turning into nice weather. It stays cold and then it just gets hot.
Boom. And then yeah, so it was like
humidity just hits.
You know what was interesting is yesterday. It's the first time I've been at the top of the Brooklyn Bridge other than riding my bike. So I walked yesterday. We walked over the Brooklyn Bridge. When I got at the highest point, it was cool, but it was almost like it was a breeze coming, but it was hot air. And you know what I'm saying? It was the craziest thing ever.
You got to get used to that. You haven't experienced the whole train, the subway air. Yet.
No, you never want
the subway thickness of, just in your mouth. Yeah, it's
nasty.
Coming. It's coming.
See, that's why, like, you know, when we're getting to the point now where if you're vaccinated, you know, masks outdoors, you don't really need to wear them and stuff.
This is the thing.
I don't know if I go into
the subway, I'm keeping the mask on.
I'm all
so
set.
Gross,
I'm good.
Though. Walking in the lady.
Uh-oh.
We had a lady.
Uh-oh.
I know. So we're walking. And so when we get to a part of the Brooklyn Bridge, there's some people, vendors out there selling stuff. Mm-hmm. So my son wanted to buy a little picture painting deal. I bought something. You know, we were standing there. Not only us, it was other people standing there. So it was a lady came by with her son. Was carrying her son. She goes, move out of the way. You guys get out of the way. Just, you know, mad. New York mad. So everybody starts saying, New Yorker, blah, blah, blah. And she calls tourist. She said, blanking tourist.
Yep.
It was the funniest thing ever. And I would have went in. But I had my kids and stuff, so I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go hard. But she wasn't just talking to me. She was talking to everybody. But it was hella funny the way she was like, you guys are tourists because we look like tourists. I kept telling everybody that was walking with me. I'm looking around. I'm like, you do understand we don't look like New Yorkers. Well, I got on board shorts.
What does New York look like?
Well, you look like a tourist. Like my wife's family, they don't look like they're from the East Coast at all. He had a hat on. It just looked... He looked like he belonged somewhere other than
when
New
I
York.
Think of that, I think of Coming to America, Prince Akeem wearing the Mets jacket with all the buttons.
Yeah,
and
no, not like that.
Like that's a
tourist. It's not like a shirt that says, I love New York on it. Exactly.
No, but we just look like tourists.
Yeah.
I mean, like, New Yorkers don't dress like, they're not wearing board shorts, T-shirts, and flip-flops walking around. Like, just normal. It's not.
Okay. Hey. Especially crossing the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes, exactly.
Where there's all kinds of stuff on the ground.
So we were in studio all weekend long grinding out for the playoffs.
NBA countdown.
And I was wearing a turtleneck.
I saw that yesterday. I was wondering what that choice
okay,
was
so
for.
Let's talk about this.
Why are you wearing a turtleneck?
How damn cold is it in the studio all the time?
Perfect. Yeah, it's how you project.
But no, it's not because I'm not outside.
No,
I'm not outside in 90 degree weather. I'm in an ice cold key. Every time you come in the studio in the morning, what do you do? Hey, Paulie, turn down the ice pack. Why is it so warm in here?
Yeah,
that's
I
the
get,
first thing you do.
I get it. The way that I'm dressed doesn't feel like
you're wearing a jacket and it's 90 degrees outside at 6 a.m.
I get it. But we're indoors. But when you're wearing a turtleneck, it just screams winter, fall.
Yes.
It just screams that.
But I'm cold.
It's like the kid yesterday getting on the elevator. I got so many stories. I'm sitting on the elevator. Me and my wife Jen's there. And then there's his family. And there's his teenage kid. He had a hoodie on, sweats. I told him, I said, man, you know you just made me hot looking at you.
But he's outside.
I know,
get it.
That's
why I'm inside.
That's what no turtleneck, Jay.
We'll have a discussion about ambient temperature and whatnot because there's a great debate certainly about that. But that's what I wanted to get to, though, because I saw you in studio and you are wearing a turtleneck. And you said you wore it because of Trae Young and Ice Trae
ice cold,
and how cold he was and you thought you wanted to be prepared for it. But what also was cold was Kawhi Leonard's performance in what was a game seven, and the Clippers end up winning. And I asked again, 126-111, so the Mavericks are out in the first round. There's so much to talk about on that side of things, especially with Luka not being here. As I said, did the NBA lose one of its biggest stars not having Luka now to play the rest of the playoffs? You know, a guy that will draw eyeballs to the screen. But did we learn something about the Clippers? I know you hate talking about it, Key, but just
on a basketball sense.
I know you're an LA guy, but Jay, you obviously, again, in studio, did we learn something about the Clippers in this series? And do we believe that after hitting 23 pointers and making like almost all their free throws, did they find themselves, and are they now the team to beat in the West?
Well, no, they're not the team to beat in the West. The team to beat in the West is the team they're playing in the next round. That's the Utah Jazz. But I will say, due to load management, due to the way that we kind of view, you know, the best players in the league, I think we always forget how good Kawhi Leonard is. The fact that he averaged 30 over 60% shooting from the field is really next level. Like, you know, when you get back into back in the day when he was with Toronto, a lot of people started saying he's more like Michael Jordan, that really good two-way defender. But he just constantly reminds you because this was a Luka versus Kawhi Leonard matchup. And Kawhi Leonard won that matchup. Granted, there were a lot more pieces that helped Kawhi Leonard. Reggie Jackson, Morris knocked down shots from the outside, Paul George to a degree. And Luka just didn't have any help. But Kawhi Leonard took on the challenge of guarding Luka. And, I mean, that what he did in game six,
yeah,
he dropped 29, I mean, in the second half. All of a sudden, I'm coming back. We get done with studio, and we're leaving in the fourth, like, you know, beginning of fourth quarter. And I come back, and I get in my room. I'm like, wait, what just happened? He just went for 20 in the fourth quarter? Like, that's how talented and how special of a talent he is. What we forget.
Well, you know what? People, for whatever reason, is always kind of – when you have a two-way defender or a defender at all that is one of the top dudes on the court, and initially he does not guard the opposing team's best offensive player, the first thing people say is he's scared of him. He doesn't want that.
Ducking him.
He's ducking him, mm-hmm. Which it's all scheme, as you remember last week I said. I said, what's going to happen prior to game six is – will we see, because Luka, game six, Luka still had 30, whatever it was. Yeah. He went, you know, he had a good game in game five. But Kawhi Leonard stepped up to the challenge in six and seven and basically said, give me him. I may not have him 100% of the time, but I'm going to have him on certain situations where we're not going to switch. And that, to me, says that I'm up for the challenge, opposed to looking at it and having Ty Lue have to scheme some sort of defense for Luka. He decided he was going to take him and do exactly what he did. Now, as far as this argument, as we always say, where's he at in the hierarchy of the top players in the NBA? He's going to be right there in the top five. He really is. And it's not because the last two games. It's based on what Jay said in his earlier comments about what he's averaging and what he's doing. 60% from the field, two-way player. I've got to guard you, and I got to score on the other end. To be able to do that takes a lot.
Well, let's hear from Kawhi Leonard after the game. This will be Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, on that very point, and everybody wanted to see it. Kawhi Leonard defending Doncic.
You know, the whole series, we have to lock in on him. He's a phenomenal player, great one-on-one player, could pass to his teammates. And, you know, you can't just pick one game to lock in. You have to stay focused throughout the whole, you know, series. If it's seven games or four games, and, you know, us just having that mental focus just helped us throughout the series.
That's Straight Talk, by the way. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
And what he said right there didn't do anything for you, huh? Like, meaning, like, well, his personality, like what,
no,
he,
that,
what he just said,
no, that
was like blah.
Yeah, but it was revealing because I think I keep coming away from the bigger story out of this series is Luka.
Yeah, one versus five.
And the respect, right.
It felt like it was one versus five.
Also, how much respect has he earned around the league from all of his peers?
But he's good.
He's 22.
He's good, but he also got a little bit of that, I know I'm good and y'all not better than me, attitude. So – believe it or not, people gravitate toward that. Where the Claw, he just kind of, you know, I'm going out there and I'm doing my thing nice and smooth. And if you appreciate it, you appreciate it or not. But Luka, not only his play speaks for it, but he also has a little bit of
bravado.
Yeah, like he's going to talk trash.
He knows it. Well, he knows
screaming
he's
at the refs.
He knows
he's stopped screaming at the refs. He's screaming at the refs.
A lot of the big stars do that. Jay, let me ask you this, though, when it comes to Kawhi Leonard. Is he that, you know, break glass, only an emergency kind of guy that I'll do it when I have to, but I'm not going to do it all the time, meaning shut down the other star? Like, early in the series, we're all like, where are you, Kawhi? Where are you, Kawhi? When it came down to have to get it done, he did.
Well, I mean, they changed up their scheme. It wasn't like Kawhi Leonard. Everybody keeps going to Kawhi Leonard, lockdown Luka. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter how good of a defender Keyshawn is if he's guarding me. If I put you on the ball screen every single time, you're not guarding me. The big off the screen is guarding me. And Luka put them in ball screens constantly. But I give Kawhi a lot of credit for continuing to fight over the top and chase him. But they blitzed him. They kept blitzing him in Game 6 and Game 7. They blitzed him. They forced the ball out of his hands, and they forced guys like Tim Hardaway Jr. or Kristaps Porzingis or Jalen Brunson to make plays. Mm-hmm. And there's a cumulative effect because at the end of the day, I mean, Luka accounted for what, like 74 points last night between 40-plus points and his 12-plus assist?
Yeah.
And like, there's only so much he could do.
That's the biggest issue. And at times in the series, Tim Hardaway Jr. was terrific. In doing that, Dorian Finney-Smith, like a couple of their players, did a great job supporting. But in the end, he didn't get enough from the guy on the team
who's makes
actually
$30 million
player on the team. Certainly something we will get to. Luka turning into a superstar. There's no doubt about that. Maybe in top five player. But he can't do it all on his own. Who has to step up, or what decisions do the Mavs have to make? We'll discuss that after Key has this from O'Reilly.
Murray AC Month is going on right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If your AC is blowing hot air, you need immediate relief. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts during Murray AC Month and get up to speed to $100 gift cards after mail-in rebate when you purchase a Murray AC compressor or dryer, expansion device, or condenser. There's no need to sweat. Man, it's hot out here. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and talk to our professional parts people or visit O'ReillyAutoPart.com.
Doncic for the shoot. Luka drives the broken line. Shoots with contact with the foul line. Off the rim, the glass, and in.
The attitude this kid brings to the game nightly can strike fear into the heart of the opponent.
This is Keyshawn J. Will and Zubin.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Market madness continuing. By the way, speaking of market madness, you see Jacob deGrom? Oh, my God. Like, he remains unhittable. Also remains in market madness right now. But you know who's out? We got to discuss this. So we're in the Shocker. Elite Eight right now in market madness, the Era Goats regional final. Now, remember, we set this whole thing up. It starts with Chris Kenny. He decided to make a list of, like, the top current professional athletes in the New York market. Who could get the last table in the best restaurant, and he had DeGrom as number one. So we decided to go around the country, 16 markets. We got our experts in each market to give us the top three in their market. And then we took all the number ones and put them into a bracket, and we had you vote on at KeyJNZ on Twitter. So we've gotten to now an Elite Eight, and in the Era Goats regional final, we have an upset. Larry Fitzgerald knocks out LeBron James. We thought LeBron James was going to win.
How is it possible?
51.6% to 48.4. LeBron out. Eliminated. This is a huge upset. And, you know, our producer, Evan, says that we should blame your guy, Travis Rogers. That it's all his fault.
Travis didn't play in the game the other night.
But there was no like support. He didn't come on Friday. He chose LeBron as number one.
I don't think Travis
feeling like not enough promotion maybe in the LA market to say make sure LeBron wins.
That wasn't gonna happen. Just wasn't gonna
Larry
happen.
Larry Fitzgerald, I mean, you love the guy, but how is he more popular than LeBron James?
I promise you this, and I'm sure Jay will say the same thing. Larry Fitzgerald ain't getting no last table at no restaurant before LeBron damn James.
Thank you.
I don't give a damn what nobody says.
I think Larry would say that too.
This is just one of those deals where people, you know, LeBron's name, they lose, they like, good, we got an opportunity now to basically kick him to the curb. That's all it is.
This was just to embarrass LeBron.
Yeah, it's a hate thing, man.
You know what happened as soon as they lost? I mean, the next day online, there was so much LeBron James slander.
Yeah.
So much.
At least he played.
I hear you.
The slander should have been towards him.
Look, I mean, it's the life of LeBron James. It's unfair.
Guy played with a high ankle sprain.
Played through it.
But they don't appreciate that. Didn't say a word. You got to remember, they just don't appreciate that. And that, look.
But see.
For the people, not everybody, but the ones that don't like you, they went and voted against you. That's just what it is.
Is that what it is?
This also makes an argument. See? This makes an argument, man. I'm trying to tell you. People wonder why, you know, certain athletes only care about winning championships or you don't really care about the regular season. Well, here's a guy that played through injury in the regular season.
True.
Okay. Had another injury, had to take time off, didn't win a championship, even though he just won one in October.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I told you LeBron James couldn't do it. He's 36 years old.
I ain't even talking about his age. I'm just talking about the fact that the man has been doing this on a consistent basis since he's been in the league. Never mind his age. Just every year, he's in the playoffs. Every single year. 14 straight years he had gone past the first round. Appreciate that.
So you're saying the people that don't like him voted more than the people who actually like him? Because is that what it was? The hate is stronger?
I need to tie this back into something. I need to tie, because it was a couple of weeks ago, we were getting ready for the playoffs, and I know Key, diehard Lakers fan, pumped up about the playoffs.
Sure.
And he said, LeBron James doesn't get to a championship, doesn't lose to any team but Brooklyn, I'm done with him. I'm done with him as an LA fan.
You know what?
He said that.
I do remember that.
And I want to know, do you still feel the same way now, considering they lost to Phoenix? Are you willing to accept LeBron James for next year as a Lakers fan, or are you done with him? Like you said you were going to be.
Yeah.
No.
Done is very finite.
Back, he's coming back next year.
I'm not talking about him. I know he's coming back. Yeah, I'm asking you. You. Are you done with him?
Mm-hmm. What you looking for, clickbait right now?
No, you said it. I didn't say it.
I would think I said that in jest. No one is done with LeBron. Like, come on. Seriously.
You come back around.
That was just a fan thing?
Okay,
I never left. I never left.
So the statue in the back side of the building?
No, he didn't get no statue. He's got a long ways to go for that. Damn, now you really reach.
Statue in a bar.
No, he's not. No, they haven't even started to prepare where they would put the statue. He took a step forward last year, three steps backwards after this year.
Three steps?
Yeah. He
won a title last year.
That was one.
It was a Mickey Mouse ring.
You're that guy.
Oh, Evan says Mickey Mouse ring.
This is what happens.
See, the problem.
We do work for Disney and a Mickey Mouse ring.
It did it in the bubble. Nice. Didn't count.
If his co-star was healthy to play, it might have been a different scenario.
If we was healthy, we would have been all right. But we were not healthy despite having time off or whatever the case may be and a shortened season and all that. We were not healthy in the end.
See, we or one guy?
But see, not one guy. KCP wasn't
That's
healthy.
A team.
Right? You also think about this from Rob Pelinka's perspective. Like, you let go of this core. I've got, see, there you go. You're making it. I'm just being a realist basketball fan that pays attention to roster changes.
You're right about the roster changes.
Dennis Schroeder, like, we need you to be the guy who turned down a 4-year extension of $80+ million.
You're right about that. You should have kept.
Well, he said he didn't turn it down. He said he didn't turn that down. That's what he said.
Well, he said
said he didn't turn it down. The man said it. He said he didn't turn it down.
You're right to me about turning over the roster as quick as they did.
It's all right. But.
And then not having a full, you know, again, they were 21-6. They were the best defense in the league. All that stuff was happening until one thing happened, and that was the Anthony Davis injury.
Anthony Davis hurt.
And if we're going to go after, eventually on this show, Porzingis for not being what he's supposed to be next to Luka, then I don't know how you go to the next guy. Like, yeah, you know, AD, it's not Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway's fault.
Out, though.
You go to the next guy, and AD is the next guy. So.
Porzingis healthy. AD healthy. I'm taking AD all day. It's
I am not,
even
not
close.
Comparing the two players. I'm comparing the situations, though. You are the second. Yeah, you're the second most
healthy.
Important player on that roster.
But one dude,
and
is
you
healthy.
Didn't do enough.
But one dude is healthy. But for didn't give enough. The other dude was banged up. Tried to go.
Okay.
He tried to go. He was all listening right. to this show when I said, "I don't care what you do. If you got to go, go. If you tear it off the bone, go." He tried.
Yep.
He absolutely tried. I give him credit for that. He has to come back in the offseason, train his butt off, stay healthy, and the Lakers will be fine. We got a few adjustments to make. A few.
Stay healthy, let me say this as it relates to Dallas. Do you remember that time when that trade happened with Porzingis and Tim Hardaway to Dallas? Okay. Do you remember what the talk was around that time? Oh, Tim Hardaway Jr., he's the throw-in. Was Tim Hardaway Jr. the throw-in?
Well, he turned
or
into.
Or was Porzingis the throw-in?
Mm.
Think about that.
Think about all the other stuff that came with that, too. Mm-hmm. That's why the discussion about the Dallas Mavericks is a very important one that we'll eventually get to. But mentioning Market Madness one more time, because today we have now our new matchup. Let's see if there's an upset here. Elite Eight matchup goes, and this is the One Name Wonders regional final. Giannis and Yachty.
Ooh.
Right? Molina. Again, all the baseball fans. St. Louis, huge baseball market. Love our show, by the way, in St. Louis. Yachty or Giannis. Milwaukee also, big part of what we do in the mornings.
If Jacob DeGrom ends up winning this.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
Yeah, Yachty gonna clip Giannis.
Yachty's going to get him?
Yeah.
You think so?
He's predicting it. He also
he
predicted Fitzy.
He get ready to go down 0-2.
All right.
So that's going to factor in.
So again, at TJNZ on Twitter, you can vote right now. You got 24 hours. Get to it. So the Titans pulled off another Music City miracle. Somebody on this show did predict it would happen. But will this one lead to a Super Bowl appearance? That's after Jay has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure. Saving money feels good, right? But cutting your wireless bill in half? That feels really good. Like walk-off home run in a ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. You know what I mean. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Breaking news, it's now official. The Tennessee Titans get wideout Julio Jones in a trade with the Falcons.
Tennessee is so psyched about this.
I think he's going to be rejuvenated.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike. Today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. And so the trade we've been waiting for in the NFL, once we got to June 1st, is going down, and it's not Aaron Rodgers. Oh, no. We're still waiting on what's going to happen with his situation. We'll get to that in a moment. But, no, Julio Jones does move on, as you just heard in SportsCenter. He will be with the Tennessee Titans, something that J. Will was asking about all last week, and Key, you were shooting it down, saying it's not a good fit, at least not a good fit, you say, for Julio Jones. So here's John Robinson, the GM of the Titans, and it's interesting how he describes why Julio is a great fit for the Titans. He said he's big, he's fast, he's tough, he's great with the ball in his hands, a willing blocker. I think a lot of things we ask of our receivers, get open, catch, and block. He certainly checks those boxes and has done it at a high level in the National Football League. Key, the key word here to me was that he twice referenced blocking. As you know, Derrick Henry is the star of that offense.
Yeah, I understand why. Well, I understand why people would get excited that he's going to Tennessee, especially Tennessee Titan fans, because they're looking at Julio Jones' production in Atlanta. They're looking at what he brings to the table from a receiving standpoint when healthy. Me, on the flip side of it, I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the fit of it. The things that he was able to do in Atlanta in the passing game, I don't know that he's going to do those same things in Tennessee because of the style of play. And as you mentioned right there, blocking. I'm not going to Tennessee to block, man. I want
yes, you are.
Yes, you are. For Julio Jones' sake, yeah. He, you know, it's like, you're looking at him and you're saying production is going to come because they're going to throw the ball. They're not going to change their style. They've gone to the AFC Championship game, couple playoff appearances on the backs of that running back in Derrick Henry.
And a defense.
And a defense that was suspect. Defense was okay.
It's a top 10 defense.
It's okay. The secondary, yeah. The secondary was horrible. They had to retool that. The linebackers, they had to go and get a couple linebackers. Defense is okay.
Okay.
But you think about the philosophy and style that Vrabel wants to play. They want to be big up front. They want to run the football. And as you said it again, twice he mentioned blocking.
Interesting.
So you trade for Julio Jones when many people think Julio Jones is on the way backside of his career based on injuries. I don't believe that. But you trade for a guy, you give up a 2 and a 4, and you swap sixes, which is whatever. But that essentially, that's a low first round, high second round type pick that you just acquired Julio Jones for. And you had Corey Davis that was coming off his best season ever that you drafted, I think, in the top 6 or 7 picks. I think he went like 4-5. Who was waited, who you developed for 4 years. 65 catches, close to 1,000 yards. He averaged 15.1 yards a catch. You let him walk out the door to go grab a guy on the backside of his career who's coming off his worst season as a pro.
His worst season because he missed games because he was injured, but the season, I mean, seasons before, he's actually played exceptionally well.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he's coming off his worst season. Julio Jones is coming off his worst season. Mm-hmm. You could add injury in there if you choose to do so or not. Whatever, it's his worst season. And you you elected not to re-sign somebody that you drafted in the top 5.
Understood.
To develop. It's kind of weird to me, that's all.
So you don't like the move or you like the move?
I don't necessarily like it for Julio, and I don't know what to make of it for the Titans because of the style of play. They're not going to all of a sudden become wide open. They're not going to be the Seattle Seahawks, the New England Patriots, the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not going to do that.
See, I feel like you're thinking of a mind of a Keyshawn Johnson. Like when you were I was reading one stat, like I think it was like 2001, 2002, like how many receptions you had and how many targets you have, right? That's where your mind goes. Couldn't you make the case that for Julio Jones at 32 years old, at this stage of his career, coming off that year where he missed 7 games due to injuries, that maybe blocking and maybe getting those big moments as a big receiver is something that could be beneficial at this point of his career? Maybe it's not about being targeted as much as he would have been targeted in Atlanta, because now having the option of A.J. Brown, like this seems like this is a more complete roster for him. So maybe less is more in this particular situation.
Quality over quantity.
Yes.
Yeah,
but it's not being targeted. It's being the offensive style. They're going to run the football 60-some percent of the time. Why would you trade for a guy and pay the salary? First of all, you could have got Corey Davis, kept him cheaper. You got to pay all this money.
Because you're doing it for the upside of what Julio Jones could still bring to the table. I mean,
but you're not going to utilize him like that. You're not utilizing his usage rate isn't going to be the same as it was in Atlanta.
I understand, but I'm utilizing him for the bigger moments. Like, if our game is that way anyway, I'm still not utilizing Corey Davis for those things either. It's the same thing, right?
It is, but from an organizational standpoint, you allow something that you was drafted to develop to walk out of the door to then trade for an older player that's coming off his worst season as a pro. It doesn't make sense.
You're also paying him more, aren't you?
Way more.
Yeah, you're paying him more than you would have Corey Davis.
I like the move for Tennessee. I would bet on Julio Jones being healthy.
Julio Jones says he wants to win. I don't necessarily know going to Tennessee if you're going to win at the level Julio Jones wants to win at.
Here's what you just said, though. I'd bet on them, right?
Yeah.
We always go to Vegas. Vegas is impact, right? It's the first thing we think of, right? Well, you said he wants to win.
He wants to win.
The Super Bowl odds for the Titans after the trade went from before trade 35-1 to after trade 30-1. So a bit of a bump, right? To win the AFC Championship 18-1, 15-1. Bit of a bump. Win the division +120 to +110, which is tied now with the Colts.
Mm.
Win total is still at 9.5 over under. Right.
-130.
But it changed from +140.
Wow.
The over. -130.
That's a massive jump.
-130 means they expect the over.
Yes.
Okay.
They don't change it, but they now expect the over.
Okay.
That's the difference between +140 and -130.
So Keeb, +140 means if you bet 140, you'd win 100 and get your one. You'd get your 100 and you'd get 140. So you'd go home with 240 in your pocket.
That's a good bet.
-130 for you means you have to bet 100 just to win. Or no, you have to bet 130 just to win 100.
Right. Yeah, I'm not doing that. That's a bad bet.
Yeah.
That's why you don't take it.
That's why they do that.
Yeah. And that's why they put it that way, because they know it's going
to
happen.
They
expect it to happen.
That's what we call in the hood a sucker bet.
Well, they're telling you not
you'd
to
go
do
home
it
with 230 in your pocket.
Yeah, but I also can lose 100.
Lose 130.
I mean, 130. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm not trying to lose 130.
But also to Jay's point, though, wouldn't you also say, now, I'm a Jets fan, so Corey Davis, I'm hoping he's going to be great, right? I hope he's going to be great. But there's also a different cachet when you are lining up, and I know you're going to run, but that's Julio Jones over there. That's A.J. Brown over there. Like, I can't not – you know what I mean? I can't take a moment and think maybe he's not going to get the ball in this play. You've got to be a little more heightened focus on that because of the name recognition, right? Doesn't that change the way you defend, even a little bit?
The name recognition it's the NFL, man. The name recognition based on his
awareness,
last
though,
season,
who that is,
you're
going
to have to pay attention based on how his season is going. There's no question about it. What if he's having a clunker season? You think they're going to roll the coverage to him? No, they're going to keep the coverage to who's ever having a good season. My whole point is, though, is they're not going to change. Tannehill's not all of a sudden throwing the ball 50 times a game.
No.
You're spending money on receivers as if you're throwing the ball 50 times a game. Doesn't make sense for the organization, in my opinion.
But you're also showing that you're all in right now. You're saying, this is – look, he's one of the top receivers in the game. I know he's on the back end of his career at 32 years old to a degree, but we are all in. I'm surrounding Ryan Tannehill with the pieces to win a Super Bowl.
And
like, we are going after it.
And another thing that you got to understand, Jay, is the mentality of a wide receiver, regardless to what you may think.
Explain it.
He's a one, a healthy one. Like, he's a healthy one. Julio Jones doesn't want two targets a game, man. He just that's not what I signed up for. I am a healthy one. So if I go to the Raiders, I become instant the one. In this situation, A.J. Brown is essentially your one. I'm now the 2A. But I'm not – in 11 years that I've played, I've never been the 2A. Every ball is dialed up for me. Now you become not only the two, you're behind Derrick Henry. You want to be on a team that is third and eight and they're going to run the ball on a draw? You don't want it. You're like, no, that's not what I want to do.
But maybe at this point in his career,
no,
that's not even his mentality of, I can deliver more if I'm not putting up as many reps.
He plays receiver, man.
Yeah. Okay.
He plays receiver. And nobody can tell me anything about a receiver.
So he's not a wide blocker. He's not wide blocker.
I don't give a damn what Twitter say. He plays receiver.
Are we really going to look at Mike Vrabel like he can't draw up plays? Like,
well, no, he's a defensive coordinator. I mean, he's a defensive-minded coach.
And they don't have
I understand that, but like, is it locked that every time it's 3rd and 8 that they're going to run the ball?
Yeah,
like, I know we say it. I know we say it, and it's funny, and everybody laughs about it. But now having A.J. Brown and Julio Jones with the optionality of Derrick Henry, come on, man. Let's be realistic about it.
Tannehill
utilize the weapons
accurate.
That you have around.
Yeah,
it's not like Ryan Tannehill is a subpar quarterback.
We'll see. I don't.
Right, so you don't see.
Yeah,
this.
I know you don't like it. No, you don't like it.
But before this, we were talking about a Julio Jones trade that could have an impact on the NFL in some way. Like wherever he goes, it could shake some things up as far as contenders. You don't see this move having some impact on the AFC. You don't think the move itself has like any type of impact on the hierarchy of the AFC. You don't think this puts them a little bit closer to the Bills, the Chiefs?
No.
They're still under those teams.
Y'all knuckleheads are not listening.
I am listening.
They're going to run the damn ball. They're not all of a sudden going to throw it every down. They're not changing what they do. They added a name, a big name. There's no question. But they're not going to all of a sudden throw the ball to him 15 times a game where he makes a difference.
Okay.
Standing out there like a cardboard cutout
right.
at some point.
So they bought a Ferrari but not to drive it.
But do you need to change up the way you play still? That doesn't limit your star players from having big moments. Like, you get him there for those big target catches like he can make. Now you have two big wide receivers that can make big plays. So, yes, right. We're not changing our style. But we still have optionality when we need to have optionality.
Perfect work.
And that can lead to a Super Bowl. Or I'm not saying I'm going to put them above the Bills or Kansas City at all, but it does put them in a different conversation in the AFC.
Let's grab some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We first go to Melissa in Michigan. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. Hey, you guys. I just want to let you know I am a knucklehead, but I am listening to you, Keyshawn. I think that it's really weird that he's going to the Titans and – they're going to run the ball, and they might have him out there, but it's not going to change the way they play, because what are they going to do, put him out there just to block for their run play? I don't think so. You know, they're going to – you know, if he's out there, he's out there to catch. And I think having him blocking, not that – I know that's not necessarily all they're going to have him do, clearly, but, I mean, just mentioning that so much that, oh, he'll be able to block too. I mean, he is getting a titch older, and I'm way older, so I shouldn't comment. But, I mean, he was out with injuries last year. How much do you think it's going to affect him if he gets hurt blocking? And how well is he going to be recovered from things like that? I don't know. I just think it's kind of weird.
You usually don't get hurt from blocking as long as you keep your feet moving. Running backs, but she did make an interesting point because Derrick Henry, he sees nothing, right? And when you're in front of a guy and you're blocking him and you don't have your feet moving still, a guy can run up behind you. That's when you get hurt as a receiver.
Yep.
You know, you got to be able to push that dude out of the way. And look, Julio, again, he's as good as ever when he's healthy. But health is an issue. And when he's healthy, what is his usage rate? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to have him out there blocking all damn game? Or are you going to change your philosophy and get your money's worth and make him a focal point of your offense? Now you take it away from A.J. Brown.
All I'm saying is if they are limited this year because they are just running the ball nonstop and Julio Jones is not getting targets, then that's on Tennessee, because that seems like such an easy way to disagree with the move.
But then
it's going to run. Like, of course, that's like the simple way of arguing with that.
But, Jay, you're also getting ready to change your quarterback. Now, by trying to throw the ball – in utilizing, now you're changing what you believe in your quarterback, which is a guy who's a glorified manager. Now you're asking him to do more because you got Julio Jones.
In a weird way, this also, to me, and I know it's going to sound crazy because Derrick Henry's been just a beast, but how much can you just keep doing that year after year before that starts to wear down? We've seen that happen.
The
running backs,
maybe
you get that balance. Let's take Jason in Phoenix on this. Jason.
Hey, guys. I mean, the producer already told me, like, don't say what I'm going to say because it's going to make you guys mad. But I'm sorry. It's not what the show's about.
Go, like, Jason.
Keyshawn,
go on and say
wrong.
What you're going to say, man.
Yeah, Keyshawn, I'm sorry, man. You're wrong. Like, Julio is going to be the number one. A.J. Brown already came out and said that. And they're going to throw the ball a little bit more with Julio Jones, period, point blank.
Okay.
For what Han just said, they can't keep giving Henry a million carries every season. He's going to break down, so it's going to change slightly.
Okay. All right.
Remember, A.J. Brown was on the
same way,
hey,
look, I'm with you.
On social media.
Fine by me, man. I go to the Super Bowl every year regardless. So
we'll be there.
I'm not arguing with you.
All right, where did you want him to go? Now that you can talk about it, you know, you don't have to worry about a hot take. It's not a hot take now. So where did you want him to go?
I think the Rams would have been a great fit for him. The Raiders would have been a great fit for him.
Because Diana Rossini said there was a team that was offering a one. That deal fell through.
Seattle could have been a great fit for him.
Yeah.
Those teams have been great fits for him. If Aaron Rodgers was back in Green Bay, that could have been a great fit. But those are NFC teams, so they're probably not changing.
You think Green Bay called?
I don't know.
Like, because that would also reveal something, too. I'd love to find out if Green Bay maybe called and thought second-round pick's too much for
Keyshawn,
us.
Keyshawn, you're wrong.
You know, you don't like hearing that from
Red? He does not like hearing that. I don't care what nobody says.
No, I'm saying, hey, man, I'm going to Super Bowl regardless. It doesn't matter. I'm there every year.
By the way, man.
So,
how about
matter.
Jason saying, though, the producer said, don't do this. Then he did it on the air anyway. Instead.
Yeah, that's
Evan,
not
get
what
some
I
control,
said.
Evan.
What did you say, Evan?
That's not what I said. I said, Jason, I wouldn't call in and have that kind of attitude because you're just going to make the guys defensive. Because when he said, like he said, well, they are going to throw it more because they have Julio Jones. I said, well, Key just said not. And he said, well, because Key said it has to be right.
Yes,
and that's not
that
the point,
correct.
But like, I'm sorry, Jason. I'm going to go with the guy who played in the NFL, who won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was all the
over
defense.
Over a caller in Phoenix who just has an inkling that they're going to throw it more with Julio Jones.
They're not going to throw it more with Julio Jones.
Jason's allowed to have his opinion.
Okay, so let me
ask
you this.
Sure, but it's wrong.
You don't know it's wrong yet.
You're speculating.
No, it's not a fact that we don't know they're going to throw the ball a tad bit more.
We're in the 80s? How many days till? I can't believe we didn't rip it off the wall.
We're in the 80s already?
Already.
No, we're not
89, 89
I want you to explain something to me during the break.
Exciting.
I need you to explain to me.
94.
Why they got rid of Corey Davis and then several months later trade for Julio Jones and give up a whole bunch of money.
We'll find out when Corey Davis plays for the Jets.
One guy has an upswing in his career. The other guy is taking a fall in his career.
Also, I brought this up earlier. You wasted all this time developing Corey
Davis,
who you took with the fifth pick.
People
he finally
get developed
turned
all
into
the time
a
and don't pan
to Evan.
It's so funny, Evan. You tell callers not to be angry, yet you seem very angry when trying to describe this. People develop talent all day long. Doesn't mean that talent pans out.
What do you
and
know,
you have
Jay?
To recognize,
Jane,
hey,
the talent,
what do you know about your talent? When you've been around a guy for 4 years, you know how good he's going to be.
And
if you give up on him,
receiver.
That says a lot.
I'm around you every single day. I don't know if I see the upside. But everybody else who doesn't see you every day tells you, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You didn't develop the talent.
He had his best season of his career.
Yep.
He's
and then they let him go.
Upward.
And then they let him go. What does that suggest?
But who else did they let go? The tight end, they let Jonnu Smith walk out of the door.
Well,
Adoree Jackson, the Patriots paid him.
Yes.
Yeah, but they let Adoree Jackson walk out of the door. I mean, they just were letting guys.
There's not a little bit of you that wonders why like you would do that? And the other thing is that one guy's named Julio Jones and his resume. One guy is Corey Davis and not
one
yet a resume.
One guy's been in the league 11 years. The other dude's been in the league 4.
You don't see any. There's
That's
no
all
like,
I'm
little
saying.
Bit of cachet
it
to
seems
have
like
that
there's
guy.
Just a lot of like Tennessee
just,
animosity.
Just different. I can care again.
I'm going to the Super Bowl.
I
can care less.
Every single year, Jay, regardless. I don't give a damn if they kick, pass, or punt.
I'm also interested to see what's going to happen in Dallas. Lucas Robin, who's it going to be? Because the max player they got is a role player.